Thank you very much, Reverend Porter, for those kind words of welcome. It is a real joy to be here in Enniskillen. Not sure when it was the last time I was here. I think it was about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but it's a real joy to be back here. And we want to thank those who have prayed for us down through the years and those who have supported us covenantly. That indeed is going the second mile, and we certainly do appreciate it. And we would indeed pray that the Lord would richly bless you and encourage you here under our brother's ministry. And indeed, you would see many more precious souls coming into the kingdom. We do bring you greetings from my wife, Heather. She wasn't able to come over yet. She is working in a small English academy just to coordinate the teachers there. And so she wasn't able to come over. She's coming over in a couple of weeks' time, just for about 3 weeks, and then she has to go back again. So she's there on her own. So do pray for her also. She doesn't like being on her own. The other night, she said she heard a noise and she had to put the chest of drawers in front of the door. So it's just something that she has to stick these days. But pray for the Lord indeed would keep his hand upon her, and for the church, that the Lord would keep his hand upon the church at this time. We also bring you greetings from the Reverend John Hanna and the Reverend Angel Alvarez, working there in Alcorcón. They indeed would covet your prayers as well. And indeed, we can really rejoice at what the Lord has done up there. As you maybe know, John's son, Jonathan, is a real wizard with electronics. And so he has cameras up and everything else to be able to put the messages or the services up on internet. And that has created a lot of interest. And they've got a lot of people in from other churches. And so we praise the Lord for that. The church has become too small, and now they have made that venture of faith to buy another building. And they hope to move into this building maybe at the end of April. I think it'll be really, they have a lot of faith to believe that. It's a big building. There's a lot of work to be done. And we just pray that indeed the Lord would use it as a mighty instrument in his hand to see many more precious souls come to know the Savior. So pray for the work there in Alcorcón. The Lord has richly blessed them and encouraged them. And we indeed are excited, really, what the Lord is doing there. So just pray on that the Lord indeed will continue to bless. They bought a big building at 300 square meters, and it has a basement as well, 300 square meters. So it's a tremendous size for Spain. That's big. That is really big. And we thank the Lord for what he's doing there. And it's a good area. It's in a good situation, right beside a big avenue. It's near to the metro station, so it's easy to get to. There's even a parking lot near it, because it is at the base of a block of industrial flats or industrial offices. So they're not there on a Sunday, and it leaves that means that they have the whole parking lot to themselves. And that is a real bonus, being in Madrid before. In the other church, you were driving about for half an hour to look for a parking place, and now they have a parking lot as well. So that is a big bonus to the work there too. So we thank the Lord for what he has done there, and would ask you to pray on that indeed the Lord would richly bless even those men that are traveling down, different men from Alcorcón that are traveling down to our church to fill in for me. We don't happen to have anybody in the church that can preach, but our brother John, they have been blessed with many fellows that can preach, and so we thank the Lord for that and for their sacrifice, because it's over 200 miles to go down to where we are. It's a bit of a run. But the Lord has blessed, and they encouraged, and many of them indeed enjoy going down. We have very close relationships with the church, because we have a family camp every year, and we get to know everybody because of that. And so many of them do travel down even in other times just to be with some of the folk in our congregation. So continue to pray for us. Sad to say, in our own church, we don't have anybody with those skills of electronic skills. And it is a problem, because I have a lot of stuff gathered up to start a web page. As yet, we haven't got it started, but we hope to do that very soon. So pray even that that will come to pass, and that it will be able to reach others around the area. Although we don't have many churches around us, only Catholic churches, but just pray that even the word of God would get out into the countryside around us, that we'll see many brought into the kingdom. I'm sure you've heard of this economic crisis. It really hit Spain very, very hard, especially in 2008. With this boom that there was in the building trade, Spain was going mad, building everywhere and giving people loans for anything. And that, whenever that crash came, it was very, very hard on the economy in Spain. But, you know, our area where we are is a very poor area. It's the agricultural area. It's an area where most of the olive oil comes from. Indeed, our town apparently produces more olive oil than nearly any other town in the world. And so that is the main industry. But outside of that, there's practically nothing. There's no other industry near us. And it is difficult for the folk to be able to get a job there, a permanent job. Of course, the olive oil or the olive picking is just a seasonal thing. It's in the wintertime, during usually the end of December, January, and February, maybe into March, if there's a very big cosecha, let me say, a harvest. If I'm getting English, that's the problem. There are a lot of people come in for that. And then when that's over, they move away maybe to the fruit picking or something else. And many of our own people from the area, they move away as well. The young people especially have to go away maybe to the coast to work in the hotels and these types of things to try and get a job. There's nothing permanent. And it's difficult to be able to build a work like that because the young people have to move away. There's no work. My own sons had to move away, so we're left on our own as well. So it's difficult to try and build a work. So I'd even ask you to pray that somebody would even start up more industry in the area, that there'd be work for the young people, there'd be work for the people, so they'd be able to stay in the area and they wouldn't have to leave. And that way we get people in, we have families come, but then they have to move away again. We have a family at the minute from Romania. They've actually bought a home in the Puerta de Segura, in one of the little towns near our church, and yet and all they have to travel away to Rosas, which is right up on the border of France, and they work there during the summer months. So it means they have to go away and leave us during that time, and then they just come back in the autumn time for the olives again. But to pray that indeed we'll see more work in the area for the young people especially, that indeed we'll be able to see the work of God even prosper in the area as well. In our church, we just have a few olive farmers, we have a painter, we have a lorry driver, a few pensioners, quite a few that are still, that haven't got any jobs. So we find it hard even to cover the expenses of the church itself, because we have a radio program every day from Monday through to Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's a tremendous blessing. As I believe it's a tremendous way to get the word of God out. There's no telling who's listening to it, and it covers an area bigger than Northern Ireland, so you just don't know who is listening to the word of God through the radio. We pray for that work. We thank God for Brother Ruben Sarion from Denia, who helps us with this work. He's been a real blessing to us. He doesn't charge us anything for doing programs, and I was doing them at the start, but it takes a long time. It takes a long time to prepare these different programs, but he has certainly helped us in that respect. So we just thank God for folk like that to help us in the work. But pray for a little congregation. Although it is a poor congregation, we do encourage them to have a missionary vision. And they have helped out over in Uganda, in Kenya, and over in Cuba. We had the privilege of going out to Cuba there last May to meet some of these brethren that we have got to know. And there's one pastor, and he is getting 16 euros a month. That's his wage. That's what he has to live with. 16 euros a month. And I don't know how they live. I honestly don't know how the people survive there. That's half of what you get in Uganda. So we look at Africa and we think it's poor. And there's Cuba, really, the people are living in 50 cents a day, or even less. So pray that indeed the Lord there would bless. We encourage the folk there. They had an old church, an old wooden roof. It was rotten. It was just sitting there. It was all rotten. It was just, I can't understand how it wasn't blown away in those hurricanes that they get, but it was leaking everywhere. And so we're able to give them a wee bit of money to fix the roof. But pray for our brethren there that the Lord indeed will bless them and encourage them in that. They're living under a regime that's been very difficult for the folk really to survive. I think most of the people survive because they have relations in the United States and they're sending money over to them. That's the only reason or only way I think that they could survive there. But pray indeed for the brethren there that the Lord would encourage them and undertake for them. And we're over with the folk there in Uganda too, since we're last over here in Ulster. We certainly enjoyed our trip over there. It's good to be amongst people that really appreciate you and love you and appreciate your ministry. Whenever you're living in Spain so long, we're there now over nearly 33 years. And it's difficult, this rejection, this hostility, this coldness towards you all the time. And whenever you get over there and these children running and hugging you and what have you, it does your heart good. It was like a breath of fresh air. Of course, Spain suffered so much under the Inquisition. The truth of the Reformation that we celebrated here in 2017, being the 500th anniversary of that noble act of Martin Luther, whenever he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church there in Wittenberg. But sadly to say, that had little effect in Spain. The Church of Rome looked on Spain really as the last stronghold of the Roman Catholic faith. And they definitely did come down very brutally and sought out and crushed anybody wavering from its dogmas with evil determination. What evil determination was shown whenever, for 260 years, the Spanish Inquisition raged on torturing and putting to death and burning men at the stake because they hated their doctrine. They were scared of the truth of the gospel coming into the land. Even there in Sevilla, they had to stop the burning because of the stench that it caused to the inhabitants. Such was the awfulness of the Roman Catholic Inquisition there in Spain. But praise God, even though they say that there was up to maybe 68 million people killed during that time, during those 260 years, Bible-believing Christian and Jews, anybody that was against the Roman Catholic religion, they had no mercy shown to them. The gospel message that was rediscovered in the Reformation was sought out and killed, was suppressed, and the land has never recovered from this awful curse of rejecting God's wonderful salvation. You know, the devil is out to destroy, he's out to attack the Church of God. And we, in this just past year, we certainly experienced an awful attack of the devil. And it's only by God's grace and God's mercy that the church is still there. And we thank God for his hand upon us. And I would ask you to pray on, because we know that the devil wants to destroy. And the devil, whenever the Lord's going to do something, the devil will really attack. And that is the encouragement I'm getting out of it. But pray on that the Lord indeed would move. Well, thank God he is on the throne. We just praise God that the Lord is on the throne. A woman from El Salvador called Juana has recently come to our meetings. She just got saved through listening to preaching on the internet just 2 years ago. And she didn't know there was a church in the area. And she said to the woman that she was working for, she's looking after her mother who is now over 100 years old. And she asked her, do you know if there's an evangelical church in the area? And she, of course, didn't know. And so she asked at work. She's a nurse. And Jose Antonio, one of her deacons, his niece is a nurse. And she, of course, knew about her church and told her. And so they gave me a ring one day and they came along the following Sunday. And we thank God for her. She's just rejoicing in the very fact that she knows the Savior. What a tremendous thing for someone who's been brought up in a lie all their lives and come to know the truth. And she has children that are scattered about through Spain, but she's over there in Spain now at the minute. We don't know how long her work is going to last because she's looking after this woman at 100 years old. I hope she lives to 130, but we don't want to lose her. But pray for her, that indeed the Lord would just undertake for her, and she's been a tremendous encouragement for us. And pray for Rafa. He's the lorry driver that comes along to the church. He got saved about now, I suppose, near 2 years ago, and has been a tremendous encouragement to us. But the problem is he's a long-distance lorry driver. He drives away to Austria. He's away maybe for 10 days at a time, and so he's not always back on the weekend to be able to go to the church services. He does take the tapes with him to listen to them in the lorry and downloads different sermons, and that's what he listens to. But he would just love to be at home with his wife and to be able to be along at all the meetings. So pray that indeed the Lord would open something else, that there would be some other job that the Lord would open for him, because we need more men in the church. We need men who are willing to stand for the Lord, and men who indeed could be an office bearer later on. And so pray for Rafa that the Lord indeed would bless. Pray also because many of our folk have been very sick lately. As I say, that man, Jose Antonio, is an invalid man. He's a deacon, but he's a tremendous encouragement to us. He got saved over 20 years ago, and he never misses. And he's a real encouragement to us. A man who can't walk. He can hardly sit up now. But he's there every Lord's Day. If he has the health to be out, he'll be out. We have to lift him like a child into the van, because now you can't catch him under his arms. It's too sore for him. But that's the only way he can come alone. But pray for him that the Lord indeed would encourage him and even speak to his family. He's given all his family Bibles. He even wrote a book, his testimony, and writing about his parents as well, in the hope that his family would read it. He'd give a copy to every one of his family. And this is the desire he has, to see his family see him, to write a book, to go to the extent of writing a book, to be able to explain to them the gospel. So pray that these people will take it and really read it, and that the Lord indeed would speak to them through it. Also pray for Pilar and Alfonso. They're the only two really from the original congregation that whenever we first went down there, that's the only two left. Pilar, she's the widow of Eusebio. Eusebio just died last year as well. He was a deacon in the church, and we had a tremendous time in the funeral. In the funeral parlor, there wasn't room hardly to sit down. There's people standing all around me when I was preaching. Could have touched them around me. There was that many. And one man especially was just standing to my left. A man called Nicolas, he listens to the radio every day, and I spoke to him before many times. But I remember him telling me one day that he listened to the radio, and whenever he heard the message, he was standing weeping, saying, "What have I done with my life?" Pray that indeed the Lord will bring him right through for himself, that we'll see that man saved and transformed by his Spirit. Pray also for the book table. We have a book table in Baez de Segura and Corticos Nuevos. Pray that indeed the Lord would work through even the literature as we give it out. There's a man called Emilio, and he's from another town, and there's no church in that town, but he's reading the Word of God. He's trying to encourage his wife to read it, and his three sons. And it's difficult. There's no church anywhere near. There's actually 10 million, they reckon, 10 million inhabitants in Spain that don't have any witness anywhere near them. They've no witness in their town, no Christian living in their town. Not even a church, but not even a Christian living in their town. 10 million that have no contact with the gospel. Friends, there's an open door there. And we look to Africa, we look at these places, and we think there's a mission field. We don't realize. And that's what I believe, that many folk here in Ulster, we look at Spain as a holiday destination, place where we can go and lie in the sun. And we don't look on it as a mission station. But friends, these people are in paganism, medieval paganism where we live. Nothing has changed there for centuries. And they're still running the bulls through the streets. They let 160 bulls go in our town, running through the streets after Semana Santa. Semana Santa, they're all so saintly. And then it comes to San Marcos, this holiday where they run the bulls through the streets. Every garage is converted into a bar. And the people go out and they're drunk and they think they're the best bull fighter in the world. And many of them even get badly injured, and some have even got killed because of these bulls. But pray that the Lord would work in the hearts of these people, that the Lord indeed would open their eyes to the truth of the gospel. There's an awful superstition, I remember a woman saying to me about this legend of this man and the big boat and all these animals in the boat. And I says, that's the stories in the Bible. That man was called Noah. She never knew a thing about it. She thought it was a legend. They haven't a clue about the Word of God. They don't know a thing about the Word of God. And friends, we need to tell them. We need to tell them this truth, this wonderful message of the Church of God and of God's great salvation. We need help. We need help. There's great need for workers. As I say, there's big towns and haven't even got a church in them. And pray for Emilio that indeed the Lord would help him to be able to reach his family. I believe this man is now saved, but pray for his family and pray for him. As he hasn't got a church near him, we're giving him different literature and things to read. And we speak to him every Tuesday in the market or whenever we're there with the bookstall. So it's encouraging to be able to speak to somebody and somebody who really appreciates it. But pray on that the Lord would move in his heart and also in his family. And I know it can be discouraging whenever you're giving out leaflets and things and maybe people, many reject it. Because, of course, they know who we are. But, you know, I was just talking to a wee woman, Conthy, that comes along to our church. A wee woman, like, got saved. She tried to kill herself 5 times. 2 of those times, the family thought she was gone. But the Lord spared her. Today, she's rejoicing. Without taking any medication, she's rejoicing in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is her medication. But she was telling me, you know, because of all these scandals of this right-hand man of the Pope and all this that's going on at the minute, she says hardly anybody's going to the church in Corticos Nuevos. Hardly anybody goes to the chapel in Corticos Nuevos. But pray that indeed, just at this time, that we'll be able to reach these people, that we'll get close to them, that they wouldn't just turn away from religion altogether, but that they would turn away from this fable to believing in the truth of the gospel. We've got to know the local policeman. Pray for him. He's a man before. He wouldn't have looked near us. He would have walked past us and ignored us. And now I've got friendly with him. He stops and talks every week. He's taking different literature that we've given to him. Pray for him that indeed the Lord would really work in him and bring him right through for himself. There are many more things that I would like to say, but we just pray that the Lord indeed would move. Especially, I would like to say about our, we have a big army camp. There was a Christian organization bought an army camp for having camps with young people and what have you. And but they had another camp up in the north of Spain and realized that they couldn't keep the two of them. And so they offered it to us. To the evangelical church. They didn't want the charismatics to come in and get it, so they offered it to us at the same price as what they paid for it, and they had already spent £150,000 in fixing it up. And we thought this is a real bargain, so many of the churches got together, and the church in Alcorcón and ourselves and another church in Malaga and Barcelona, we got together and we paid one of the payments. There was, I think, 5 different payments of about €400. And so we just paid the 400 between us all. And we've been paying that now for 15 years. And thank the Lord now we've finished paying it. But pray that indeed we'll see this camp go on. It's a big, big camp. There's tremendous possibilities, tremendous potential. But we need help. We need help. And I'm asking for help. Any young men that have maybe skills in building and different things, if you would love to come over sometime, maybe for a week, and help us out and doing some repair work and some maybe building work and other things, we would certainly love to hear from you. And if you would like to do that, maybe you could get in contact with your brother here, your minister, and he can contact me, and we'll try and arrange it sometime later on to get a group over from Ulster. We did it in the past. We had our brother Thomas Martin, the Reverend Thomas Martin, come over with a group, and we did different work over there before. We had another group as well from Kilkeel that came over, and we enjoyed their fellowship as well. But we could do with more groups like this coming over. And even, I would stress to even the church, the young peoples, we had the young peoples come over from Sandown Road. They really enjoyed it. The camp there is only an hour from the actual city of Seville, but it's up in the northern Sierra, in the North Mountains, in the mountains north of Seville, a beautiful area, and it is really a nice place to have a camp. And even I would even stress to having like a family camp where everybody can go. We have this family camp, as I say, down Manantiales de Vida. And it's been a tremendous encouragement for our work, especially because we're so isolated. We're 200 miles away from any big city. We're 200 miles from Malaga, from Madrid, from Alicante, from Valencia. We're more than over 200 miles from Sevilla. But we make that effort to go down to Manantiales de Vida each August, from Monday through to Saturday. And all these churches, we get together and we spend the whole week together. And it's a tremendous time of fellowship. It's a really good time for the young people, especially for our boys, because they had only one other boy in the church whenever they were growing up in our church. They had only one other person their same age, than nobody else. And it's a place where boy can meet girl. That is the problem with many of the churches too. A lot of the young people have got married into the world, and the church has just about disappeared because the next generation has moved into the world. And it's something we need to pray for. Over here, there's an awful lot of folk that are around us, Christians, and they don't have that problem. But over there, where do you meet another Christian? Especially if you want to get married. It's a problem. But praise God, our second son got married to a girl he met in the camp. Our third son now is getting married next March to a girl also they met in the camp from Alcorcón, and we thank the Lord for that. So we'd ask you to pray that indeed the Lord would bless this work. I believe it is an important work because of the churches are so isolated, they're small, and especially it's difficult for the young people. But it's a real encouragement also for the old folk. Alfonso, he's 97 years old, and he wouldn't miss it for the world. He's down there at every camp every year, and that was the main worry of Eusebio whenever he took a bad stroke. He says, I'm going to miss the camp this year. But he didn't miss it. He was down there at the camp, wheelchair and all. He was down there and really enjoyed it. So pray that indeed the Lord would bless, that would even see this camp flourish, and even, who knows, even churches come over from here and have their camps there. They can fly in, maybe into Sevilla itself. I don't know if there's flights to Sevilla. There's an airport in Sevilla, but I don't know how, if there's direct flights or not. But maybe you could charter a plane. Maybe somebody could learn how to be a pilot and flying down. But we would certainly be glad to have you. Now, I just want to leave one verse with you now. It's a verse in James chapter 3, verse 4. James chapter 3, verse 4, says there, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And I believe that there are many who are saved, they are transformed by the Spirit of God, but they believe they cannot really do anything for the Lord, or anything worthwhile, really worthwhile for the Lord. They believe they have no great and outstanding gifts whereby they can do some great thing for the Lord. And because of this, they get discouraged and they don't attempt to do anything for the Lord. They sit back and they look at others and they say, oh, if I could only pray like him, if I could only preach like that, well, it would be all different. I could really do something. It would be great to be able to do that. But you know, if you look closely at this verse, it says there, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Friends, we should pay attention to little things. The power they wield is tremendous, for good and for evil. The energy of an atom can destroy a whole city. A little spark could burn down a huge forest. A little rudder can control the movement of a giant ocean liner. And so a life, I believe, dedicated to God can move a multitude. You might think, oh, well, that's impossible. That is just wishful thinking. But you know, there's a man called Antonio Garcia from Baez de Segura. And he used to preach for me now and again whenever I wasn't there. And he's gone to be with the Lord. But I can remember him telling me one day how he got saved. He was sitting on the doorstep of his home, reading a wee book, a wee leaflet, and a woman came walking past and said to him, "Do you like reading?" And he says, "I do." And she said, "Look, if I give you a book, would you read it?" He says, "Yeah, I would." So off she went, and a few minutes later she came back and she gave him a book. And he read that book. He couldn't believe what he was reading, but thank God he did believe it. And he got saved. And through him, going down to the town, getting his hair cut, he saw the barber saved as well. And another man saved, Jose Galera. And the three of them used to meet together. But of course, they didn't go to Mass anymore. And whenever the priest got wind of this, the priest, he ruled the roost. And if you didn't go to Mass, you didn't get any work. So they had to pack up and leave. And Antonio had to go way up to the very north coast to Bilbao. And he lived up there. He got a job and moved the family up there. And some others got together. He met up there and they started a church. And today that church is over 100 members. Jose and Miguel, the other two men, they moved to Madrid. And they started works there in Madrid. But you know, Antonio said, he says, "I never got to know who that woman was. I never met her again." That woman doesn't know about Antonio Garcia. She never came back. Doesn't know, maybe it was just somebody that visited for a short time and moved away. What a tremendous surprise is going to be for her to meet him in heaven. Not only him, but all the people that he won. That'll be a tremendous thing. And all she did was just give him a little book. Now, you mightn't be able to preach. Maybe you can't get up and preach in the open air or in the church or wherever, but you give out a tract. You could give a tract. I knew another missionary there in Spain, a man called Steve Story, an English man. He was a builder. Absolutely no background of the gospel at all, was never sent to church or to Sunday school. He was working one day in the building site and he lifted up a brick and he was about to put it on and he noticed there was something wrapped up in one of the holes. He pulled it out. He took a look at it, his little tract. And he read that tract. And through that tract, he could see it. And he became a missionary. And he was in Spain. There's no telling what the Lord can do because the power is in the Word of God. You mayn't be able to preach, but you can give a tract and it'll do the preaching for you. It's not hard to take a few tracts in your handbag or in your pocket, in your car. Anybody you meet, here, have a look at that when you get home. Just give them the gospel, the Word of God. This man, Antonio, never met that woman. But the Word of God does not go out in vain. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." God isn't interested in what you can't do. He's just interested in what you have. That little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he might have said, "Well, this is my lunch. My mommy gave me this because she knew I was going to be away for a long time and didn't want to see me getting hungry. If I give this away, I'm going to be hungry." But he didn't say that. He gave it all to the Lord. And let me tell you, he ate more that day than he would have if he had kept it all. Because there was 12 baskets left over. 12 baskets. Every disciple filled a basket of remnants. And that's what the Lord can do. You mightn't think you have much to give, but if you give it to God,
There's no telling what the Lord can do with it. Availability is the best ability. God wants willingness. He's not looking for brains. He's not looking for great gifts. Indeed, he has chosen the weak things and the foolish things to confound the mighty and the wise of this world. And why does he do that? So that he can receive all the glory. Who did he choose to preach on the day of Pentecost? Peter. And who was Peter? Peter was the man who denied the Lord with oaths and curses. Why did he do that? Why did God choose Peter? Because Peter wasn't going to be all puffed up whenever 3,000 people could see him, because he knew what he was. He knew it was all of God. And friends, it is all of God. We can do nothing. We're absolutely helpless. It's the Lord that has to do the work. And we thank God that the Lord is over his church and he is going to build his church. Oh, it might seem difficult. It might seem impossible. But you know, if the Lord calls you, he will equip you. He isn't going to ask you to do something you can't do. But friends, we can't do anything. It is really the Lord that takes us as an instrument in his hands, and he does the work. It's the Lord himself that works through us. He will do the work. He is willing even to use us despite our weaknesses, despite our failings and our falling. He can use us for his glory. Most of the men of God that God used, they felt completely inadequate for the task ahead of them. Moses, he said, who am I to go and to talk to Pharaoh? Oh yes, when he was 40 years old and as the prince of Egypt, he thought he could do something. But he ended up having to run for his life. But God had to leave him in the backside of the desert for 40 years to take the pride out of him, and he became the most meekest man in the world. And it was then that God used him. When he knew he could do nothing, God took him and God used him. If you think you can do something, let me tell you, God will not use you. Because it's only God that is going to do the work. Gideon, how many proofs did he want? He saw miracle after miracle before his very eyes, and yet and all, he couldn't believe, Lord, it couldn't be me. How could I do this? And yet the Lord took him. And the Lord used him mightily. Who knows what the Lord could do with somebody here? Who knows? If you just give him your all. That's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your affections. He wants your love. He wants your dedication. He wants that which moves you. I pray that God indeed would speak to your heart. You know, but if you never do accomplish any great thing, anything that you think is mighty and great, remember this. He who is a Christian in small things is not a small Christian. That lady that gave that book to that man probably thought she never did anything in all her life. What could she do? She maybe seen nothing happening. She didn't know what God was doing in the background. God was working. You give out the seed. You sow the seed. You mightn't see the harvest. We're there 30 years down in Bethesda Segura. And I'm just praying someday, maybe I mightn't see the harvest I would like to see, but someday somebody will see it. Praise God, we have a wee group of about 30 folk that come along to the church. We thank the Lord for them, but we think, what are these amongst so many? 30 people amongst 8 different little villages that come along. Some of them have to travel a good 40 minutes to come to the church. We have to travel an hour and round collecting people to come to the church. But we believe it's worth it. Because the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And praise God, poor benighted Roman Catholics have seen the truth and have been transformed by that truth. Maybe you're here tonight and you're still not saved. You have the privilege of being born into Protestant Ulster. You have the privilege of coming along to a free Presbyterian church that preaches the gospel, and yet and all you're still rejecting the truth. Let me tell you, what will hell be like for you with the gospel ringing in your ears, knowing there's no way out and there's no end to this? It's forever. Christ died in agony to save you. He shed his blood to cleanse you from all your sin. Are you just going to walk over that as if that's nothing? Are you going to tramp it under your feet? Are you going to spit in his face? Are you going to laugh at him? Are you going to say it's nothing? Oh, friend, come to Christ. Realize your sin. Turn to him in repentance. Cry to him before it's ever too late. Praise God. He's a merciful God. You deserve to die. I deserve to die. But Christ died so that I wouldn't have to die. And I believe it. And I have received it. Have you done that? Do you know the Lord? Oh, I pray that God indeed will work in your heart. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. We're just casting out the seed of the gospel. And I cast it again here. I don't know you. I might never meet you again. But I pray one day I'll see you in heaven. One day. You'll shake my hand and say, thank you for that word. I realize what a fool I've been for so many years. I'm not going on any longer without Christ. I'm going to get right now. I don't know what might happen this night, but I want the Christ. I want him as my Savior. Friend, call on him while he is near. You can't guarantee he'll ever touch your heart again. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you. Amen.